All right, so this is a couple years down the road. It's a beautiful day out as you stand proudly, arm in arm, with the older woman and the older man who are sitting, or rather standing, on both sides of you. You're at the University of Texas. But you call it
UT.
UT. At a graduation.
Who's graduating?
This guy named Gary.
Oh, Gary.
Yeah, Gary.
Oh, Gary. Yeah.
Smartings. Gary Smartings.
He graduated last in his class.
So that's the thing about Gary, is that Gary Smartings did graduate absolutely last in his class, but God damn it, he graduated.
Oh yeah, we didn't. We all. It took him 8 years. We financed it.
So, you kind of have like a flashback as you're watching him. Kind of like he doesn't really walk across the stage. He kind of like lopes across. He kind of walks like like that old video of Sasquatch. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, he lurches.
Yeah, he lurches across that stage, grabs the fucking diploma.
Yeah,
whole crowd goes crazy.
Nuts. He's a legend.
He kind of is. Reason being, so you kind of have like a flashback as you're watching him. Like I said, his knuckles are almost touching the fucking ground.
I mean, they're dragging.
So he's like, you kind of have this flashback to 15 years earlier.
Yeah.
Present 15 day. Years ago, you were leaving a pornography store. It was called Nothing But Porn.
Well, I'm an analog man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the last place in town that was like renting VHS. And so you went there because you're like, yeah, like, you know, you're like, look, I got no problem with digital porn, but the analog porn is where it's at.
It feels different. It hits the membrane different.
And you tell the people who work there that every time you make a purchase.
I look them in the eyes.
So on your way back from Nothing But Porn.
That's correct.
You were driving and you saw this like 3-year-old kid just like lying on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy fuck. And like you pulled over.
I was worried.
You jumped out of the car and you did like, you basically did like the Heimlich maneuver on this kid. His face had turned blue.
Well, here's the thing. He kept screaming, I'm awake, I'm awake. And I was like, your face is blue.
You didn't give a flying fuck.
No, I was worried.
You got that, he was choking on a piece of chocolate, and you were able to get the chocolate, you know, out of his throat.
Yeah.
You were so worked up that, like, you kept doing the Heimlich even after.
Well past
him spitting the chocolate.
It was uncool how long it went.
But what was really cool was the fact that you saved that fucking kid's life. And now, 15 years later,
I cursed him with the burden of life. He almost had an early out. That's what he kept screaming at me. At three.
So, and you kind of think about that. You remember him screaming, I had a way out. But like he was a little kid. So it's like, I had a way out. Like he just sounded like, and it kind of like sometimes echoes in your brain as you try to fall asleep at night.
Mister.
Mister, I had a way out. I had a way out. But you kind of push that aside as you watch him just, again. And it takes him probably, even though his legs are longer than most, it takes him like probably about 45 seconds to walk across the stage. Like it takes him a long time.
Yeah. People are worried. Some people are pissed.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, there are some pretty annoyed people. So
fuck
like at
them.
First everybody was like, yeah, because everyone knows the story. Oh, they call him the child who defeated death. And as he walks across the stage, people are yelling like fuck death, fuck death, fuck death. But it took him so long to get across that like by the end the people were just like, all right. And like after
okay, Gary.
Yeah, kind of. That's what the dean actually says to him.
He goes, Gare. And he did the wrap it up sign with his finger.
It still takes him so long. After he takes the diploma, it takes him another 45 seconds to walk off the stage.
And those elderly people with me.
His parents.
His adopted parents. They're Chinese.
You guys are like the only ones still clapping by the end of it. So you're kind of in a good mood, you know? You leave there with a smile on your face, even though you wanted to say hello to Gary afterward, but he ended up getting lost. They found him 3 hours later standing motionless inside a closet, nowhere near the University of Texas.
Is he, what's he doing in that closet?
He's just kind of like standing there. I mean, they never really give you a full.
With Gare, it's scare.
That's the thing. It's what his parents weren't freaked out at all. They just called it a Gare scare. And their thing was just like, this is just what he does. It's like he just wanders off. Eventually, once the sun starts to go down, he just stands motionless because he kind of gets freaked out. And it's kind of like a chicken. And they're just used to this. They just know, look, Gare's been giving us his Gare scares for, 18 years at this point, and nothing bad has ever happened. Like, he knows what he's doing, you know? And so you kind of aren't that worried about it either. So you go home.
His dad goes, oh, my God, there's my Meryl Streep winning an Oscar because he's acting.
He's so fucking proud. Watching his father, his name is.
Well, they're Chinese.
Right. His name is his American. I can't pronounce.
No, it's Daryl.
He goes by Daryl.
Yeah.
And you kind of watch Daryl as he claps and as this guy isn't holding back. There are tears just pouring down this guy's face as he's watching his fucking son graduate.
Yeah.
And it makes you reexamine your own relationship with your father. Watching this happen.
Do I have to?
But you're trying to think about stuff like that. So you go home and you are eager to get home. Normally, you're good to hit up a couple, couple open mics an evening, You're
not above a bar. No.
You go out there.
Socialite.
You're working on this new bit. Uh-huh. And so you kind of did want to go out to a mic.
Oh, no, I'm a comic in this universe?
You're still a comic, yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah, you're still a comic.
So I got a new bit. What's my new bit?
The new bit that you're working on is essentially you being like, hey, guys, so I came up with this new phrase the other day. It's called the Nut Network. Yeah, those are all the girls I call when I'm horny. And then you play a sound effect of like, woo, woo, woo. You're kind of like a new act now.
I'm an in-your-face guy.
You're very in-your-face. You literally, these days, even at open mics.
I'm a take-no-prisoners guy.
You will get off the stage and literally get face-to-face with people while you're telling your jokes.
Dude.
So.
That's just me.
That's just you?
That's just Garrett. That's just me.
Look, Gary lives his life a certain way, and you do comedy a certain way, and you will not apologize.
Could I?
So you're kind of you're kind of thinking like, oh, I want to go out and work on this bit, but you're like, no. I'm going home because you have started a new hobby.
The model planes and Percocet.
So what ends? You've kind of moved on past that hobby, though.
I had to go to rehab for model planes.
You did. It was
outpatient.
It was the Lanolax rehab for strange and esoteric things.
Oh, it would be inpatient.
Yeah.
Yeah, esoteric because Percocets are so blasé. Those are so last year.
Stuff like that, and also the model thing also kind of freaked them out. So you were mostly, the Percocet thing, they were like, whatever.
Understandable.
Like, the other thing they were kind of weirded out about. And that's kind of where the strange stuff comes in. Esoteric stuff is mostly people who are going through addictions to various occult items and stuff like that.
Right,
there's
right,
someone
right.
there who used to stare at the shining diamond of Nyarlathotep, and then they became addicted to it, and now they're kind of being weaned off of it. So they
it's a good diamond.
It's a damn good diamond. And you don't begrudge her. And so, but you kind of kicked that whole model plane thing. Though every once in a while, you do take some Percocet. I'm not going to lie to you.
So, hey, I'm going to do me.
That's what you do. You think that to yourself. So
I say, oh, I got a bit of the gear scares.
So after you're done with the Lanolax rehab for the strange and esoteric, you have decided, like, we not really decided. What happened was you were hanging out one day about a week ago. There was a knock on the door. They're like, night mail.
Oh.
And so you're like, the fuck? And so you walk over, you open the door, and on your front porch is like a box. You're like, huh?
What?
And it says your address on it.
Yeah.
But it says, instead of saying Sam Castillo, it says my last surviving relative.
Whoa.
What do you, so you open it up?
Yeah, of course.
And you're like, the fuck? And inside this box is like an easel, like a foldable easel.
Painting.
And, yeah, painting materials.
Painting
basically.
Easel. Okay.
And so you've been kind of getting into painting lately. Like, you're like, well, I have this thing. Like, it doesn't, there's no explanation for who exactly it's from or what the deal is, really.
Yeah, it's taking out for a spin.
Yeah.
I'm gonna paint.
Why not?
Why not?
So you've, you have like your easel set up. Lately, you've just been like painting, you know, abstractly, just kind of throwing shit at the easel, you know.
Seeing what sticks.
And that's the thing, is you just think to yourself, I'm just going to see what sticks. The thing is that you really don't know what you're doing. So whenever you like throw the paint at it, like you do this thing where you're like, I'm going to splatter the easel, but you miss every single fucking time. So now you're like, I'm just going to start painting like actual objects.
Right.
Up close and personal.
Up close like my comedy.
It's exactly like your comedy.
Dude,
in that regard.
It's in your face painting.
So you go home, you pick up one of those fucking, what do you call, paintbrushes?
Sure.
And the edge of, you dip it into charcoal gray, which to you has always been one of the most underrated colors
slept
that there is.
On.
Yeah.
Big
incredibly
time.
Slept on. And so you dip that fucking paintbrush in, and it's almost like when it goes down into it, right before it goes into that paint, the tip of it like gleams, like the sun hits it, you know?
Sure. Love when it does that.
And in that moment, it looks razor sharp.
Ooh.
So much so that when you put the paintbrush into like the paint for just a second, you're surprised that it doesn't bleed.
Yeah.
And you just start, you know, you start painting.
Yeah.
And you're doing this, you kind of do this thing, you don't even realize that you're doing it until it's like 2 hours later. Like you kind of go into a trance as you're painting. Not, you know what I mean? Not like in a troublesome way, just in a thing where you get so locked into what you're doing that you're just like, you don't even remember painting anything. It's just 2 hours later, and on that easel is a fluffy, beautiful cat. You look at it, it's not very lifelike. Like it's not a, you know, it's not necessarily a good painting. You just started. But you look at it and you're like, yeah, that's a passable cat. And so you kind of do the thing where you put your thumb up, you know, and
scale.
You're looking at it.
Yeah.
You don't really know why. You just have always seen that in movies.
I saw them do it.
Yeah. So you do it and you're like, definitely, but you don't know, you know. So, you go to sleep.
I say things like pointillism.
Of course. You go to sleep. You dream of a howling void. You wake up the next morning. You wake up eager and ready to face the day.
Sure. First time ever.
You kind of think that to yourself. And, like, you kind of, like, say that to yourself every morning. But usually you're like, first time ever. Like, oh, I'm ready to do it. But today you actually are. You're not being sarcastic. You're not being a miserable little bitch for once, you know?
Whoa.
You wake up ready to paint because that easel is calling to you. You open up the door of your bedroom, and sitting in the living room on one of the chairs is the exact representation of that cat that you drew or painted.
Fuck, it's there.
But it's real.
It's real.
And it sees you and it goes, meow.
Ooh, sassy, huh?
What do you do?
I freak out. I mean, it's a painting come to life. and it can talk. It's like alive. I mean, I spaz.
Yeah.
I stand up on the table. I run to the kitchen. I get a knife. Like, I'm gonna, like, I at first, it's like, how do I, even, I mean, and then I'm starting to tell myself, that's just a cat that came inside.
Yeah.
That's not a paint. That's not a cat that I painted. But then I look at it, and I'm like, dude, it's that color.
It's the exact.
It's charcoal gray.
Charcoal gray to a degree that you did not think was possible.
It also has that pink nose that, like, has too much orange in it because I accidentally dropped orange in the pink for the nose, and so it's like not even a real nose color, but I told myself it was artistic choices, and I'm like, dude, this fucker's alive.
And so it looks at you again, and it just goes, good morning, Sam.
And it can talk English.
Oh yeah. And he goes, I'll just let myself out. And he walks over to the door and like jumps up and like hits the doorknob, and it opens.
Damn, he's
and
good.
He looks over his shoulder and he goes, bye bye, and leaves.
Does he have a key?
No.
Good. He's never coming back.
You look over at that fucking easel.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Paint myself some goddamn money.
So you paint your like, you start off kind of like, well, I don't really know, because like it seems like everything that you like paint becomes, you know, an actual physical object, but exactly the way that you paint it. So you try like drawing like a $100 bill. You can't remember what president's on it though, so you just guess. So it comes out looking like a little, like, it doesn't look real at all.
Damn.
And you just do President Clinton on it. You're like, I have a 1 in 46 chance or whatever.
Yeah, first black president.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
You kind of think that to yourself as you
I
like,
chuckle as I do it.
Yeah. And then, so you kind of work on that for like the rest of the day. By the end of it, you feel like you have a pretty solid grasp on how to like draw money.
Yeah.
You have a $100 bill. You finally figured out it wasn't even a president.
No.
Benjamin Franklin.
Benny Franks.
You take it, you decide, like, well, I'm going to test this, right? Yeah. Where would you go to try to spend that $100 bill?
Man, at that point, you know, I'm probably going to get some ice cream.
So you go down, there's this new ice cream place that you haven't been to yet. That's actually...
I'm going to a strip club. That's what I call ice cream. When I tell my family I'm going to go get ice cream, I'm going to a titter.
So you jump into your fucking car. You are ready to go.
This is the last time I'm ever driving this car.
Because
guess what? After that strip club, I'm going to draw me some damn more money and buy a better Porsche. All right?
You start thinking of like all the different things you're going to like paint as you get home.
Oh, yeah.
You go out. There's a... you go out to like, you know, the famous strip club in town. Yeah, it's called Stripper Miss. Strip or Miss is this place. It's been around for decades in Austin.
Let's hope the women have been too.
The way that it works is it's kind of like playing like darts,
uh-huh,
where you throw darts at like, you know, balloons in the wall or whatever like that.
Right.
And if you hit it and it pops, you know, off come the first article of clothing. It's
but
like
if
that
you
kind of thing.
Miss, oh. They put on a burqa.
Yeah, they actually like clothe themselves every time that you miss.
Aggressively.
So it's kind of like, it's a famous place because like there are nights, honestly, where you will go there and by the end of the evening, like you'll see like 7 women just wearing like parkas. You know what I mean? Like they look like Eskimos almost by the end of the evening. But then there are some nights where you go there where you are on fucking fire. Those balloons do not know
what hit them.
Yeah. To the point where one time you actually hit 100 in a row.
They're like, sir, stop.
They were not happy with you.
No. I know Rodrigo. I know Rodrigo and Valerie. I know how they operate that place.
So you go to Stripper Miss, and you walk in, and you walk over to, they're like, hey, Sam. You're like, what's up? What's up, ladies? You walk over to the wall of darts. pick out the first one, and you don't even, like, look.
No.
You just, like, fucking throw it over your shoulder.
And nail it.
You throw it over your shoulder, and it just, like, pops that fucking balloon. Bah. Crowd goes crazy. You spend, you spend a while there tossing darts.
And there's a crowd. It's $8 steak night.
And you cannot wait to get that fucking steak in your tummy.
Let's do it.
So you throw darts for a little bit. You walk over to the bartender, Rodrigo, and you're like, hey, what's up? And he's like, hey, Sam, good to see you, man. And you're like, he kind of points to you, he goes, $8 steak? And you go, make it two. Buy yourself a steak. He's like, holy shit.
I know. I gotta like that.
You slip across that fucking $100 bill. As you put it across, you realize that when you painted it, you accidentally painted Ben Franklin, like, winking. And you just pray he doesn't notice.
I'm hoping my thumb covers the wink.
It fucking does. He puts that $100 bill away in his in the cash drawer like it's nothing, like it's real.
Yeah.
He brings out two plates of steak. An $8 steak night. Medium rare. You sit down with it. He gives you the change. $84, all in ones. You give him 20, you're like, hey.
For your trouble.
Yeah, keep it. And he goes, oh, thank you, sir. And you guys sit there and you just eat your $8 steak together in silence.
That's correct. Why talk?
You go home that night. What is the next thing? Do you start drawing more money?
First thing I do is I draw myself a nice, nice couch.
Sure.
Then I draw myself a lot of money. A lot.
So you sit down on that Turkish couch that you drew.
Mm-hmm.
Like tassels and shit all over it. Red and gold and perfect. You start drawing and you do that same thing. You go into a trance and you draw just stacks and stacks and stacks of cash.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it myself.
Three hours pass by, 4 hours, five,
seven, eight. Haven't slept.
You do not sleep.
No.
For 12 hours straight, you just draw nothing but piles of cash.
About to change my life.
You just keep drawing and drawing and drawing. 12 hours, 13, 14, 15. 16, 17, and you are just, by the time you finish, 17 hours straight of you just drawing piles of cash. By the time you finish, you are literally, like, surrounded. There are just stacks of $100 bills all the way to the fucking ceiling. And you're like, hell yeah. And then you sneeze, and then all of the stacks of money fall on you. Just, and this is like, there's the stacks of these are like gigantic. So you actually get up, end up being covered in cash. You can't move. You can barely breathe. And you just die of thirst, covered in ill-begotten cash that you drew.
God damn it.
Well, after it takes about 4 or 5 weeks for anyone to notice that you haven't been like around. So at some point, Michael Park from the Velveeta Room is the only person who noticed. So he's like, I'm going to go check on Sam. And he goes over to your house and he opens the door and it's just like piles of cash come out.
Like an avalanche.
Yeah. And he like sits there and he like thumbs through it and does some quick math in his head. And he goes, 17 large. So Michael Park takes the $17 million. No one ever sees him again.
Ever again. Why should they?
It's just they think that he goes to Mexico with it, but they're not really certain. There's stories. There's rumors and stories that he like pops up every once in a while. Like someone will be in like years from now. Someone will be in like Belgium and they'll see like a man with a ponytail underneath the beret walk past, and they'll go like, holy shit, I think I just saw Michael Park. And they'll write, Michael Park sighting, Belgium, and they'll post it on Facebook. But you were crushed to death and ended up dying. But Michael Park ends up being a very, very rich man.
Good for him.